The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access. Your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and Verizon.
We've got another action-packed hour, less than a month to go before the NFL draft gets underway. Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller will be joined by current Bears wide receiver and special team standout Mark Mariani in just a little bit here on the show. You can join us as well. Your calls the entire hour at 312-644-6767. Again, 312-644-6767. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. And I'm going to get right to it because I had a conversation with a good buddy of mine that works in the National Football League about this, and it came up. This is hypothetical season. There's a lot of, I don't want to say lying, but a lot of different things, that smoke screens that are getting thrown around here as we get closer and closer to approaching the draft. So let's look at it from this standpoint. There's a realistic possibility that when the Bears pick 11th overall, round number one, that a very good quarterback could be available. I'll just throw a name out there. Say Cal's Jared Goff is available at 11. Standout career at Cal. Everyone thinks he's got talent. The question becomes, like Marcus Mariota last year, you know, he ran a spread offense in college. Do you believe, if you're an evaluator, that this guy can process a pro-style offense immediately?
All right, let me give a Bears fan reaction, and we'll let Jim talk about the quarterback evaluation of a quarterback. To me, I say no. I want a guy on defense, specifically a cornerback, a linebacker, a defensive lineman out there who's going to step in and be a competitive starter from the day they get to OTAs, and then they bring it down to Bourbonnais. I want a guy that's going to make the defense way more competitive, turn it into a winning defense that's going to go into this division and compete with Aaron Rodgers and his receivers, Matthew Stafford and his, in the Minnesota team up there. I there's a lot. When I was paying attention to the quarterbacks throughout their workouts and throughout the different All-Star games, I see a lot of value at the quarterback position that can come later on and then have the luxury of not putting an uncomfortable pressure on Cutler, but make sure that he's dedicated like he was last year. And then you got time for a quarterback to grow into a system that everybody doesn't feel the sense of urgency that the first time that Jay throws an interception that you're calling for this quarterback. I need going back to the NFL where there's a chance where they can let a guy sit for 1 or 2 years without the pressure of playing so he can learn a system, understand how to be a professional in the NFL.
Well, why can't he do that? You have a quarterback in Jay Cutler who's coming off a fantastic season, second year in the offense. No one is saying that Jay Cutler isn't the right guy for the Bears right now, but is it any different than when Aaron Rodgers was picked by Green Bay when you had Brett Favre as
the
quarterback?
Yeah, it was a big difference because Brett Favre, I think, was into his 15th year when they picked Aaron Rodgers, and they thought he was a lot closer to the end than he is to the midpoint of his career. And I do think Jay is still a young player, has got a lot of years ahead of him. So to me, I like what you're saying, but I do think the Bears are more desperately in need of defensive contributors immediately than a player that, even if you draft them in the first round, you don't feel this pressure that how many Bears fans are going to give them the luxury of letting him sit for an entire year without participating.
312-644-6767. Let's ask the quarterback.
Yeah.
Jim, what do you think?
Well, anytime a high quarterback that has been drafted, a lot of times why they're put on the field, it's happenstance. You know, when the Steelers drafted Ben Roethlisberger, Tommy Maddox was a starter. He goes down with the injury. Steelers did not want to play Ben Roethlisberger. Say Joe Flacco when he was drafted by the Ravens. They had four quarterbacks go down. I forget Troy Smith. Remember, he was Ohio State quarterback.
Yes.
He
yeah.
was scheduled to be the starter and had tonsillitis at the end of training camp. And so the Ravens had to force Joe Flacco into starting and playing way too early. I think it's in the discussion at 11 because I don't think the Bears, their mindset right now is they're such a talented team that they're going to go to a Super Bowl. I think John Fox is building the roster and Ryan Pace are building the roster the right way. But I think it's in the discussion because minimum, even if that guy does sit and just learn behind Jay Cutler, he's gaining trade value. He's gaining. We've seen teams like Andy Reid, his days with the Eagles, and he's already done it with a team like the Kansas City Chiefs. He just grooms these quarterbacks, and then they become potential trade compensation. So if you feel Jay Cutler's playing great and you continue and want him to be a Bear, that's fine. If not, then you can move on, and you've groomed a young quarterback like a Jared Goff. Let's not forget last year. Look at the season of the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Romo goes down, and they've got nobody that can play the quarterback spot. And they went through four guys, former first-rounders like Brandon Whedon. They traded for Castle. Kellen Moore they brought in from the Detroit Lions because you know Scott Linehan's offense. They could not win a game. They could not win a game because their quarterback position was not solidified. So think about if Jay goes down. Do the Bears, do they feel that good about David Fales? That they'd say, we don't need another quarterback. We think Fales got it. I think that would be the key component, how they feel about Mr. Fales and if he can come in and play.
The Chicago Bears Miller Lite Draft Party is taking place Thursday, April 28th at Soldier Field. Tickets and more information are available now at ChicagoBears.com. Out to the phones we go at 312-644-6767. Swingman on the south side, you are on Bears All Access. Hey, Swingman.
Hey, how's it going, Zach? Just wanted to give, as a Bears fan, my perspective on that quarterback comment that you made opening the show. I think that's ridiculous to spend a first-round pick on a quarterback when that's one of the few spots on the roster we have an NFL-quality player at. I understand if he goes down and whatnot, but I'd say draft a quarterback every year, but in the later rounds, over the next couple of years, find a good one. I mean, I know it's hard, sounds easy, but I wouldn't. If we build a team good enough by drafting good defensive players, good offensive players, the quarterback position matters a little less. I mean, there's been Super Bowl winners that haven't had a great quarterback, that haven't had a great team. Let's build the rest of the team. We need players all over. We don't need a quarterback. Come up with that idea.
Swingman, it is an argument that people are paying attention to, but I think one, just a reference point is the Washington Redskins. Even though they drafted RG3 first, then you got Kirk Cousins in the fourth round. So it was the same year, but again, they didn't draft Cousins thinking that he was going to be a starter or even come in there and compete as a starter with RG3, that it was going to take a little time, and now it's paid off for him.
Listen, if you feel that a defensive player can come in here and be the kind of disruptor that takes away the talents of a quarterback on the other team, you take that guy too.
Correct.
I'm just saying, when are you going to be in a position to perhaps get a quarterback this high again? If this team continues to build the way we think it will.
For Jim to think about during the commercial, who's the best second-tier quarterback? Not the first guy off the list, but, a little bit into that second, third, fourth round.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. We'll be joined by Mark Mariani. What do you guys think? Should the Bears take a quarterback, if there is one that you like at 11, over a defensive player? That's next. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedon and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago or visit ChicagoBears.com/InsideTheBears to check out show segments anytime. And this week on Inside the Bears, Jay Cutler returns to Nashville and talks to Lauren Screedon about his time at Vanderbilt. Plus, Anthony Adams and former Bear players visit the comic convention C2E2. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My50 Chicago and Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments anytime online at ChicagoBears.com. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. So is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Zaidman. And we started off with the question. It's clear. We know the Bears need a lot of help defensively. It was the first thing Ryan Pace talked about at the end of the year. They need more impact players on that side of the ball. And you look at free agency and what they did, adding the inside linebackers in Trevathan and Freeman, getting Akeem Hicks and adding him to the defensive line. But there's still more needs, and it's a solid draft from what we understand at defensive line, solid draft when it comes to the secondary. But there's a possibility, and a realistic one, that when the Bears pick 11th overall in round number one, that a very talented quarterback could be there. Perhaps a Jared Goff, Paxton Lynch. I'm not necessarily saying the Bears like these guys, but if they do, how do you pass up on a quarterback that could potentially one day be a franchise guy when, if you continue to improve the way I think most people think the Bears will with the John Fox, Ryan Pace regime, you might never put yourself in this position again to get as talented a quarterback.
Jim, is there a guy that you cannot pass up at the quarterback position? Is there a guy that you would refuse, Jim Miller, the general manager of every team in the NFL, is there a guy that you cannot pass up?
Yeah, Carson Wentz. I think that guy could go as high as one, is my opinion. I think a team, you know, you think about a team like Dallas, they missed out on the Matt Moore sweepstakes to find a free agent quarterback to even back up Tony Romo. Think about Tony Romo. That guy has broken his clavicle three times. Can Dallas afford to get Tony Romo hurt and not have an answer at the backup spot? The last quarterback they drafted that high was Troy Aikman. They won world championships. And Carson Wentz, to me, looks like the real deal. He passed the test at the Senior Bowl. He's got all the mechanics that you need. He's a big, strong guy. His numbers are similar to Cam Newton's and Andrew Luck in terms of his athletic ability. This guy's running 4.7 40s at 237 pounds.
Yeah, and had a monster pro day according to all accounts. But this has nothing to do with Jay Cutler right now, because I think based on what Cutler was able to do last season, I think the Bears feel very comfortable with Jay Cutler continuing to be their starting quarterback. It's just protecting yourself at the position. Right. In the future, Aaron Rodgers had to sit for 3 years, and I think it benefited him, and he became one of the best quarterbacks in football because he had that opportunity to grow, and he wasn't rushed in there like so many of these young quarterbacks are.
No doubt. I mean, I go back to a team like, say, even the Rams when they drafted Steve McNair. People forget Steve McNair sat for 2 years out of Alcorn State. What Jeff Fisher did at that point, they were the Houston Oilers. I know this because we played in the same division. We'd go down and play the Oilers as the Steelers. He'd bring him in maybe a series a half is what he did to break in Steve McNair. I mean, that guy became a pretty phenomenal quarterback. Probably another guy you have to do that to this year would be Paxton Lynch out of Memphis. This guy was a running back in high school. Didn't even play quarterback till his senior year. He moves extremely well. He's 6'6". He's got like John Elway-like ability. He can run like the Dickens. I saw him on tape roll to his left and throw a bullet 75 yards against the grain in a ball game. That's stuff you just cannot coach. So he's a guy that's going to have to sit for a couple years. Connor Cook, let's say, I think it's hard to believe that both that Goff or Wentz would fall through the top 10, because when you look at San Francisco, they potentially may take a quarterback. I mentioned the Cowboys at 4. Cleveland's definitely got to think about it at the 2 spot. So for those two guys, if you know, I find it hard to believe for them, but say for the Bears, do they think about Paxton Lynch? That's too high for him. Connor Cook, probably too high for him. So I don't see it happening. So let's say there's not another team. Say Jeff Fisher and the Rams at 15 are going to use that plan for Paxton Lynch. Then it would leave Connor Cook. Would he fall through the top the rest of the first round? And then are there teams in the top of the second round where they would think about trading back to the first round to get Connor Cook? Because I think those four quarterbacks go in the first round. Why do teams want to trade back into the first? Because you get the fifth-year option. You get the fifth-year option. That way you can let that quarterback marinate a little bit more or cut the ties if you know that first-round quarterback cannot play in the National Football League. There are other diamonds in the rough in this draft that you talk. I think Dak Prescott from Mississippi has some intriguing qualities. I liked what he did down at the Senior Bowl. There's a kid by the name of Brandon Doughty from Western Kentucky. I think he throws the ball extremely well, was very productive in his NFL career. A guy like Cardale Jones, who a lot of people predict out of Ohio State in the third round.
And yeah, people like Kevin Hogan as well.
Yeah, Hogan's probably here's my two most NFL-ready quarterbacks. It would be Kevin Hogan from Stanford and Connor Cook from Michigan State, because both those guys run pro-style systems where they're doing check with me's, different personnel groupings. They've been asked to do everything that you're going to do at the NFL level. And Hogan's a sneaky athlete. He's a better runner than his measurables suggest. He's a very fierce competitor out of Stanford.
312-644-6767. Want to get your thoughts on this throughout the hour. Best caller here on Bears All Access will win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. But joining us now on the phone line is Bears wide receiver and return man, Mark Mariani. Mark, welcome to Bears All Access. I guess we'll start out with this. You know, before we get to the special team stuff and all the new rules, you are one of the few guys on this team that's actually played for a team coordinated offensively by Dowell Loggins. So can you share with us what he's like when he's in charge?
Yeah, that's right. We spent some time together in Tennessee. Dowell's great, man. He brings a high energy every day. He's young. He likes to put guys in their best situations. He schemes hard to get guys mismatches and get guys in position to make plays and move the chains and all those sort of things. And I'm excited about it. You know, I love Coach Gase, and I'm really happy for him that he got to move on and be the head man. But I'm really excited to be able to work with Dowell again. I love what he brings to the table. And I think, you know, just in general, it'll be an offense where guys get some input and they have you know, Jay will have some freedom back there, and he'll just try to find mismatches and get guys to make plays when the game's on the line. So it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, Mark, how are you? Hey, what was your message that you took away from the rules changes that deal specifically with your occupation? Are you in favor of it? Do you look like there could be a different avenue that maybe this thing could be investigated? Or are your hands tied and you just go along with what the rules committee has done?
You know, I think as a return man, I think it's beneficial because I think it'll put the ball in our hands more and make us make decisions because I really don't see teams just giving up the 25-yard line. And I don't it's hard for me to figure out, and I'll have to dive into it a little bit more, but it's hard for me to understand why exactly they did it this way just because I think that teams will, you know, have more junk kicks, pop kicks, you know, squibs, whatever it takes to pin guys inside the 20 or 25. I don't think you'll see less teams just conceding the 25-yard line, in my opinion. So I'm going to have to dive into it a little more and figure out why exactly they made this change back. But it seems like they're going the opposite way from the reason they really changed the rule in the first place. Just my opinion, but, you know, as a return man that likes the ball in his hand, shoot, the more balls I can get in play, the better. You know, I've seen balls going through the uprights all year on kick returns. So, you know, keep the ball in play. I'm all for it, but we'll see how it all shakes out.
Well, Mark, congratulations on re-signing with the Bears. And as you just mentioned, you've been just a solid returner in the National Football League. But late in the year for the Bears, you became a little offensive weapon. 22 receptions on the season, 11 receptions the last 3 weeks of the year, and we're quite the chain mover on third down. Where do you think that can grow as a wide receiver for the Bears?
Yeah, I'm looking to build on that, and I'm looking to just kind of keep the momentum going and pick up where I left off. I mean, I haven't been in the building yet, and we'll figure out where everyone's roles fit in. But it was exciting for me. You know, it was exciting for me to show the world, show the NFL that I can do more than return the ball. And it was fun to be out there and be in a situation to make plays. And you know, I always say, yeah, I'm the guy that always prepares like the starter. But it was nice to be in those last few weeks coming down the stretch that where I actually prepared like the starter, you know, and I was the starter. So it was fun, and it was big for me, and it was exciting to get out there and make plays and to get that film. And moving forward, I just want to build on it and try to you know, keep progressing and be better than I was yesterday. And I think coming into April here will be a good time for me to, you know, work on the little things, and hopefully that progresses into the fall.
Hey, Mark, I got one more question about the return. Because you and Coach Rogers, every one of you guys, you study the kicker, you study his placement, you statistically where he puts the ball most often on kickoffs I'm talking about. Are kickers talented enough to add hang time to distance so it's efficiently put in a position to challenge your thought process in returning?
Oh, without question. I definitely think that you're going to see a lot more creativity with kickers and whatever. I mean, they can make the ball do whatever they want. I mean, I have all the faith in the world that Robbie would give you the same answer. And even guys that haven't been doing it as long as him, he I mean, they're just so good at what they do. They can manipulate that ball however they want. And I really think that's what you're going to see. I think you're going to see a lot of that. And high kicks, you know, directed kicks, all that stuff, which it'll add a new element to the return game. I mean, it'll add something. Whoa, sorry, guys.
Will it change the return factor?
Whoa. Mark Mariani is so popular that during the middle of interviews, guys are stopping him, coming into his house, saying hello.
No,
man,
you know,
you're the man.
My Bluetooth picked up from inside the house. And anyway, sorry about that, guys.
It's but, okay. Hey, Mark, real quick, from a special team standpoint, because we were told by the league that one of the reasons that they moved the touchback to the 25 is because they want to make the game safer. Now, it's a one-year experiment, but from listening to you, it doesn't sound as though they're going to eliminate the contact. You're actually going to have more returns based on what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would like to – I would like to look at the stats. I would like to look at where the idea came from, and I'd like to look at where – you know, what they think is going to happen. And obviously, they have a reason for it. They're not just going to make a new rule and throw it at you for no reason. They spend a lot of time on these things, so – but it just seems to me that guys are going to have a hard time giving up the 25, and that's all. I mean, I just don't see that happening. So we'll dive into it a little more, and I know Coach Rogers will be creative as well. So we'll see what happens with all of it. I'm interested to see how it shakes out.
Yeah, we talked about it last week that, like you mentioned, because obviously scoring is up. If a team's been pinned back inside the 20, it's tougher to score than going from the 25, as you mentioned, Mark. But take us through the process of just, you know, free agency, being out there, you know, other teams that you potentially talk to, and then always having the opportunity to say, you know, I can return to the Bears. They want me, and I like it there. That's where I want to be.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was exciting. It was a little bit, you know, nerve-wracking. My family and I had some decisions to make along the way, but I really wanted to be back there. I mean, I really wanted to come back and be in the organization and be a part of what they have going on out there. And, I mean, it would have taken a lot. I mean, and there were things in the works, and there was, you know, little things here and there. But I wanted to come back. And, you know, Mr. Pace and Coach Foxy have given me the opportunity to come back and to be a part of it. And there's nothing more I could ask. I mean, when you're a free agent, it is exciting. The way things ended, there were some opportunities. But honestly, I didn't really want him. I wanted to be back, and I'm excited to be back, and I'm looking forward to getting things rolling here.
And it's not just talk from Mark Mariani, because I remember I was in the locker room with him late in the year, and I asked him, what do you have to play for? And he just pointed up to the navy blue helmet, and he said, see that C on the helmet? That's what you play for. How many people get an opportunity to do that? So he's not just saying it on the air. It's something that he truly believes. Before we let you go, Mark, Kevin White, we're finally going to see this guy on the field. What are Bears fans in store when he plays this year?
Oh, man. I'm looking forward to it almost as much as anybody, to be honest with you. Just having him in the room, the type of guy he is, was great last year. But having him out on the field is going to be just unbelievable. And I think the biggest word that comes to mind is just a total freak. And the guy is a freak athlete. He's got unreal athleticism, and he can do things that not a lot of guys can do. He can make plays. He can run. He can run after the catch. He can get open. And I just think, you know, there's a reason he got drafted 7th overall or whatever it is. And, you know, he's been itching to get out there and to show you what he's made of and to prove it. So I think you're going to see nothing but hard work from him in the months leading up to the season. And then once he gets to Sundays, he's going to be a total animal and a tough guy to stop. So I'm looking forward to playing alongside of him as much as I can.
Exciting stuff. Mark, thank you so much.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks so much, guys, man. I'll be back in Chicago soon. I'll see you guys
soon.
You got it. Mark Mariani, the Bears wide receiver and return man. If you're not excited now about Kevin White, you never will be, right?
I'm really excited. I think the Bears fans are. It's like having a free number one, and that can do some spectacular things his first year on the field.
What should the Bears do with this year's number one? We'll discuss next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. Zach Sabin, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. We started the show with a simple question. If one of these first-round quarterbacks drops to 11, say a guy like Jared Goff, very talented player, the numbers speak for themselves at Cal. If he drops to where the Bears pick 11th overall in the first round, do you say, you know what, maybe we don't go defense here, even though we've got a ton of needs on that side of the ball, and pick the quarterback of the future, not to take over for Jay Cutler right now, but a guy who can sit and learn the offense patiently the way we saw Aaron Rodgers do behind Brett Favre? You know, New England drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's sitting and waiting until he gets his opportunity.
And they signed Tom Brady to an extension to give him another 4 years.
Does it hurt to have a good quarterback that you can develop with the kind of skills that clearly Jared Goff has? Just a question I'm throwing out there. What do you guys think? Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Darren is in Iowa. Darren, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. I got two short questions, and I'll let you guys debate. Okay, if at number 8, Philadelphia Eagles are sitting there, and DeForest Buckner's on the board at that time, what would it cost the Chicago Bears try to trade up 3 spots ahead of Tampa Bay and the Giants to get DeForest Buckner, a very talented defensive line? And my second comment is, if Goff or Wentz is sitting there at number 11, boy, I really have to think about taking that one of them guys, because I think both of them guys are going to be extremely good quarterbacks. I'll let you guys debate. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
You know, Darren, they're both points that I'm sure that every time they go over these methodical or these mock drafts, that they talk about everything that could possibly unfold in front of them. I think the thing about trading up to get a defensive lineman is there's so much value at the defensive line position that where do you determine that you need the most help? On the inside, or is there a guy that's out there talented enough to be a pass rusher immediately? So I do think that's all open for discussion, but, you know, I Philly's got a lot on their plate with a new head coach and trying to develop a stronger inner base of their football team, where I think when they get a chance to get a pick, they'll take it.
I would have to look at the trade chart, but I think it'd probably cost you probably a second rounder to move up from 11 to 8, which is a great thought, I think, because if he slips through San Francisco, DeForest Buckner, Philly's not going to take him. That's a 4-3 team. Tampa and Philly stacked already defensively. You'd have to leapfrog Tampa and the Giants, who I think but he would be a great fit for the Bears 3-4 defense. People think that he is a Calais Campbell type of player. He is that strong in terms of his strength on the defensive line. Be a terrific 5 technique, and so that, you know, if he falls that far, that's another discussion I think Ryan Pace and John Fox would be having in the war room.
You know, Jim, defensive linemen that are tall, it's good if you know how to play to your strengths. Yep. If you get out there and you come in the NFL, you get a little leg weary and you're playing high, and these defensive offensive linemen are getting underneath you, you don't think you can ever win the game of leverage, and then maybe your strength isn't what it's going to be a year or two. It's a process that you have to have belief that defensive lineman is understanding how to use his height and leverage as an asset rather than getting bowled out of the way by a strong guy on the inside like Slauson and Long, or even strength on the outside by Massey and Charles Leno Jr.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that, because he's such a tall player. We're talking about a defensive lineman that's all a 6'7", in DeForest Buckner out of Oregon. But, you know, that's just where they have him tagged at. And obviously what Tom's talking about is the pad level. When you're that tall of a defensive line, probably the tallest guy I remember playing with, I would say even Ted Washington, you know, for him to be a 6'5 nose tackle, to play that position at a zero technique, as well as what he did and how he moved. But he, like Tom said, he stayed low and was a real good athlete. And he played all 350, if not above, for how big he was. I mean, but DeForest Buckner, everybody has said they think he is the next Calais Campbell. He is that strong of a defensive lineman.
Angel is on the north side. Angel, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Would love to see Buckner fall to the Bears at 11, but my question is for somebody on the outside, Leonard Floyd. Seen about 4 mock drafts having him fall to us. Is that too early? I'd like to see what you guys think about that.
Is an outside backer in Georgia's 3-4 defense. You know, obviously you don't want to compare players, but there's been a couple of pass rushers that come out of Georgia that have been somewhat fizzled. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Leonard Floyd, but I just look at Jarvis Jones over there for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, that guy can't even get on the field. So I like the Bears pass rushers currently with the guys that they have. I'm not saying pass rusher, a stand-up guy in a 3-4 defense wouldn't be targeted. There's plenty of guys that are talented enough to do it, but I still think really defensive end is the target area, an area that needs to be shored up for the Bears.
And there's some very good cornerbacks who also could be available right where the Bears pick at 11. I'm telling you, this, I would love to be a fly on the wall in the Bears draft room to hear the different discussions that are taking place, because they have some difficult decisions to make. What we're talking about right now, you know they've been talking about it for the last couple of months. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller with you. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zaidman, Miller, Thayer with you. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. And the best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. We're trying to play the role of GM and college scouting director and figure out what's the best direction for the Bears to go with that 11th overall pick in a draft that's heavily loaded on the defensive side of the ball, but there might be a good quarterback that's available at 11. And, you know, then there are all these different decisions that you make, Jim. You could go up front with a defensive tackle. You could go with a 3-4 linebacker, and there are a lot of names that have been linked to the Bears, including Leonard Floyd at the number 11 position.
Yeah, a caller just called in about Leonard Floyd. And the only reason why I question Floyd is he is very light for an outside backer. He's only 231 pounds. And so that's why I brought up Jarvis Jones, who was light. Or think about Kansas City when they drafted D Ford. D Ford still can't even get on the field in Kansas City. Now, the only thing you'd say about Floyd, can he beef up to like a 250 pounds, like how Von Miller was used for the Denver Broncos? Because that's what you're hoping he will be. And John Fox obviously is well-equipped to know about Von Miller's skills, because Floyd has that type of speed and burst and athleticism and various moves to get to the quarterback. But yeah, I just don't know on his frame if he can hold it like Von Miller, how he's beefed up to 250. Because if you're 230, Tom can talk about it, and a strong side run game's coming at you, good luck. You're going to get walked over by tight ends who'll probably put you on roller skates how far they'll drive you down the field.
You know, and then if he does have to beef up, Jim, what is that going to do to him? Is it going to slow him down? Is it going to make him gain strength but lose speed? And there's a lot of those factors in the development of a young guy to see how they can really use their development either as a strength or it creates a weakness for them. What do you got, Zach?
Well, there's the second annual Schedule Prediction Challenge brought to you by United, and there are two ways to enter. It begins today,
yes,
and it ends Monday, April 11th at 3 o'clock. Fans can submit up to 5 entries into the challenge. All you have to do is go to chicagobears.com/prediction or tap the Schedule Prediction Challenge in the mobile app. And fans are asked to correctly guess the Bears' opponent and bye week for all 17 weeks of the season. So you know who the Bears are playing. Just go to the website. You'll see who the Bears are playing this season. You just don't know when they're playing each team. And you have to play the role of schedule maker, which is not easy to do, but that's why we've got the challenge.
For the winner, the prizes are unbelievable. It's just, you know, for a person that would go through that all that time-consuming information and get it right.
Now, for division games, fans will also need to correctly predict whether the contest is home or away. Grand prize goes to the winner that correctly predicts every week. And, Jim, listen to what Tom was talking about. 2 tickets to every regular season home game, 2 tickets and a road trip to every regular season away game, 2 flight tickets, hotel stay for 2, $500 cash for travel expenses. There's only 1 grand prize. If a tie occurs, the fan that submitted their entry first wins the tiebreaker. Enter early, enter often, and if nobody correctly predicts the entire schedule, the Bears will select a random entry to win the second place prize, which is still huge. Listen to this. 2 tickets to the home game of the winner's choosing, 2 tickets and road trip to the away game of the winner's choosing, two flight tickets, hotel stay for two, $500 cash for travel expenses. So again, two ways to enter, ChicagoBears.com/prediction or tap Schedule Prediction Challenge in the mobile app. This is going to be fun.
Well, the prizes are terrific, but man, I'd be heartbroken because it sounds, you know, if I go through the effort, or if the listeners out there and fans go through the effort to do that, you could be heartbroken. It sounds like my brackets in March Madness. I was out game one when Michigan State lost in March Madness. So brutal.
Yeah, and thank you very much because it opened the door for Syracuse to advance to the Final Four.
Right. That's. But then, you know, what you said, you can have up to five entries. So, you know, you can go through this thing a couple different ways and, you know, the whole thought process of it.
Yeah. So if you're interested in it, again, it's the second annual Schedule Prediction Challenge brought to you by United. Two ways to enter, ChicagoBears.com/prediction or tap Schedule Prediction Challenge in the mobile app. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Back out to the phones we go. Jamal in Tinley Park, you are on Bears All Access.
How are you guys doing?
Hey,
great,
Jamal.
What's up?
You know what, man? I really would be tempted at 11 for a quarterback, but I say but because Cutler has a few years left. And so, you know, and I know Pace is going to draft a quarterback this year. And so essentially you have a couple more years where you can take some shots at some middle-round quarterback and then hopefully come away with someone that can replace Cutler down the line. But if I'm there at 11 and I have my choice of the top three cornerbacks, and potentially this could happen where Hargraves is there, William Jackson III, or Mackenzie Alexander, I really would have to think about taking a cornerback because I think they need to shore up that position. And with, you know, I really love William Jackson III. I mean, I really think he's going to be a playmaker. So if he's there or Hargreaves is there at 11, I think they need to shore up the defense and grab another cornerback.
I agree. I agree with you, Jamal. I think I've been, you know, more a fan of how to stop the Bears' divisional opponent quarterbacks. And the best thing you can do is have a defense out there that either ball-hawking cornerback or a pressure up front, or just get those quarterbacks in your division out of that comfort zone. And so I'm with you sticking on the defensive side of the ball, and a cornerback would be interesting to visit because I think Kyle Fuller, a first round a couple years ago, he is a great personality, and I think he would be a really acceptive veteran in that room to make sure that you have a guy that comes in and gets acclimated to the professional game.
Jim, what do you think about what Tom just said? Because the old theory is, and rightfully so, that if you have the pressure up front, it makes life easy for the guys on the back end of your defense. But then I look at 2 years ago. Remember when the Patriots won the Super Bowl and they had two guys that you can keep on an island, Darrell Revis on one side, Browner on the other, and you couldn't throw the ball against the Patriots, and I think it helped the guys up front.
And how about the undrafted free agent Malcolm Butler? Yes. Makes the play of the Super Bowl. But I think you bring up good points. Look how the Broncos were built. They went out and paid a lot of money to Aqib Talib. Chris Harris, I mean, that's a mid-round pick, and that guy's developed into a Pro Bowler. And it didn't stop them from going out and drafting Bradley Roby out of Ohio State week one. That's as critical to the success of the Denver Broncos in their defense to really free up those guys, the front seven, to get to the quarterback. So the safety position they addressed out there as well when they signed big-time free agents. So I think you bring up good points because that's how John Fox somewhat built the defense out there in Denver.
Ryan in Grand Rapids, you are on Bears All Access, Ryan.
Okay, say that Ezekiel Elliott, A'shaun Robinson, Hargraves, and Ronnie Stanley are all available at the 11th pick. Who do you take? Do you go best player available, who I think would be Elliott, or do you go based on needs, left tackle or defense?
Wow. Jim,
well,
what do you...
I think they're happy with Jeremy Langford. I'm not saying Ezekiel Elliott isn't. I like what I've seen from Kadeem Carey. And there are some other banger running backs. I'm not denying that Elliott is a three-down back out of Ohio State, but it seems like John Fox likes the running back by committee. That's always been his M.O., whether it's been in Carolina. Stephon Davis really carried the load down there, but they had other backs that rolled in. And you look at Denver, that's all John Fox did out there is rotate in back. So it's running back by committee. And so I think Ezekiel Elliott, in my opinion, is already gone at that point.
Hey, Jim.
The Giants need a three-down back.
I don't think Ezekiel Elliott wants to be a running back by committee player.
Right.
If that's the, you know, kind of the message he gave last year to Ohio State, I think that could come back to haunt whatever team wants to feature him as a part of a a competitive backfield.
You know, agreed. Speaking of the offensive line, I heard the name Ronnie Stanley. The Bears reportedly brought in a new lineman into the mix today. We'll discuss next. Tom Thayer's here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sabin. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Zach Sabin, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. Best caller of the show gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. And the Bears reportedly going out and signing the veteran offensive lineman Manny Ramirez, who was in Detroit last season but played for John Fox and Dave Magazoo in Denver. What do you know about this guy just from watching him on video?
I know Coach Mags, the offensive line coach for the Bears, likes him a lot. He likes his versatility. He likes his the ability to put a jersey on a guy, and he can be responsible for three different positions. I'm talking about both offensive guards and the center position, and probably be able to be talented enough to come in the heavy package when they put that six offensive lineman on the field. So that's what it's about. When they're looking at these guys, that they're Hronis Grasu, that's who they want to give the first opportunity to be the starting center here. And if he lives up to his end of the bargain and what he tries to accomplish in the offseason, then I see this as a good value for the sign.
And who would be your swing tackle then? Would it be Tayo Fabaluje, who was the seventh round pick last year? Would it be Kyle Long? If someone gets hurt, you could bounce him outside?
In the perfect scenario, I would love it to see Tayo Fabaluje, because he's such a big guy. He's got so much talent that he's got to realize that. But because of the experiences that they've lived through with Kyle Long, in worst case scenario, if you felt better, someone was a better, the backup was a better strength player on the inside, then you have the versatility of shifting guys around.
312-644-6767 to the phones we go. Bourbon A, CJ, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Zach and Jim and Tom. My question is, since we got rid of Martellus Bennett, and yeah, we brought in Zach Miller, and that, do you see any talent out in the draft in the third, fourth, or even fifth round of a tight end out there that could come in and be somebody that they could build up and have Zach Miller kind of mentor and develop as a tight end?
Great question, because, you know, obviously just missing out on Josh Hill as New Orleans matched that offer that the Chicago Bears put out there. So you would think that that's an area they'd want to address. I personally, if that Nick Vannett from Ohio State falls to the third round, I'd scoop that guy up all day long. That guy, to me, is a fantastic player. I'm not calling him Rob Gronkowski, but he has those type of traits about him. I mean, he is a big strapping dude that can be an inline blocker and a I talked to his one of the outside linebackers there for the Ohio State Buckeyes. He said that guy is so quick off the ball. It's shocking how he can get down the field. Saw him at the Senior Bowl, and he just looks the part of a guy you could develop. And, you know, you just go back in John Fox's history again. People forget about Julius Thomas. That guy was a fourth-round pick and developed into a star out there in Denver. Granted, now he's part of the Jacksonville Jaguars because Denver couldn't match the offer. But I'd say, you know, a tight end like Nick Vannett is a guy who I really like, because I doubt the Bears would draft that high, the guy like Hunter Henry out of Arkansas. I just don't think the Bears would spend a high second-round pick on Hunter Henry, but who knows? He could be there as well.
Julius Thomas was a basketball player, so I know why you guys have been watching the NCAA tournament. I see what's going on now, trying to get one of those future tight ends that's playing in the NCAA tournament right now. Back to the phones we go. Ted in Antioch, you are on Bears All Access.
Yeah, hi guys.
Hey, Ted.
Hey, if it came down to a running back like Elliott or a quarterback like Goff still being around in the 11th with the 11th pick, if my numbers are correct, only five quarterbacks have won a Super Bowl that were drafted after the second round and six after the third round, not counting duplicates. So unless they're going to take one of those top two quarterbacks, if they're going to take something in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round, chances are pretty slim that they're going to turn out to be a Tom Brady, and you're probably going to have a much better chance to get a good running back in later rounds. So if they're not going to be serious about taking a quarterback, then it's probably a wasted pick if they take one later.
You know, I could see your evaluation of it, you know, Ted, but you know, again, with Elliott, you talk about the running back position. You know, talk about John wanting to be by committee, and Elliott doesn't like to be in a running back by committee. At least that's the reflection he gave us from Ohio State. I still, then I would go to the other side of the ball. I would go back and I would revisit defense. I know that's what I've been saying repetitively here, but you know, if the guy isn't not there that you know is part of your dream team, then I need to develop a defense and give Coach Fangio on the defensive side of the ball a lot of talent to work with.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think the tough thing is in that first round with the 11th overall pick, and this is the difficulty now that you have with evaluating these quarterbacks, and Jim can expand on this. When you have guys that you're throwing into a pro-style system that have never played in that type of system, it is a major adjustment. You know, it's one thing to say a guy can have the arm and make all the throws, but that's not the way the game works in real time. You know, when someone says three-step, five-step, seven-step drop, you got to be able to do it. You got to be able to look your teammates in the eye in a huddle and be able to spit out the verbiage so those guys know exactly what they're doing. And then you have to be able to scan the field and quickly process information, which you don't have to do when you're playing the spread offense, when everything is predetermined for you. You have to take a snap from under center. These are big things that you if you're an evaluator, you have to project if a guy can do that, Jim.
Yeah, I go back to Kevin Cobb when he was drafted out of Houston by the Philadelphia Eagles because it's a straight shotgun offense at Houston. They didn't even allow him to take a shotgun snap in Philadelphia for 2 years. 2 years. I mean, it's just how these guys are – they're playing the football at the college level. It does not prepare a lot of these guys. And it's unfortunate, but that's what you have to work with. You know, can it be done where you adjust and scale back your offense to cater to a guy's specific skill sets? Yeah, that can happen. Look what Carolina did it in a lockout season with Cam Newton. It can be done, but it was like baby steps with the amount of plays that they could run. Cause you certainly don't want to throw a guy out there who can't protect himself because he doesn't know what's going on. It is a tremendous challenge because these guys just aren't equipped for the NFL game with some of the offenses they're dealing with in college.
We've got to wrap things up here, but before we do, Tom, we'll do it again a week from tonight at 6 o'clock right here on The Score. I have to pick a caller of the show that wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Here are my two choices. You got to help me out here. We got Jamal from Tinley Park, who went with the cornerbacks. You know, we always hear defensive line up front and quarterbacks, but he wanted to go in the secondary. And then there's Ted in Antioch. I like the fact that he rattled off the statistics at the quarterback position, that if you don't grab a guy high, chances are he's not going to be your answer.
Right.
So I'm going to go Ted Antioch.
I like his ability to back up his question by some stats and info.
You know, he put in the research before he made the call.
But I like Jamal, too. I agree with Jamal on the cornerback.
Yeah, good stuff from our callers once again. Ted from Antioch wins the gift certificate to Sports Authority, courtesy of Bears All Access. For Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Sabin saying thanks for listening. We'll do it again next week. Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. All Access Pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.